This is tape recording number 5210CXX, SOP Lecture 7A, a tape recorded lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard in October of 1952, exact day is unknown. The title of this lecture is Service Facsimile Chain. It is 67 minutes and 13 seconds long. Copyright C, 1952-1974 by L. Ron Hubbard. All world performance rights reserved. This recording has been re-recorded by the Flag Audio Unit of the Flagship Apollo of the Sea Organization. And now, here is L. Ron Hubbard.
This is a short talk on the Service Facsimile Chain, Section E, Act 5 of Standard Operating Procedure, Scientology 880, the technique of making a data clear. We already have had it inherent in the steps themselves when it is you start to do this on an individual. But you're going to find that when a person goes into Category 5, it is necessary for you to run, as incidents, a service facsimile chain. Even if you find which way is bending and find the incident and turn it on as black and white, Your chances are very poor, actually, of causing him to run anything really other than incidents. He apparently has some reason why, which is a good, valid reason to him, completely buried in the depths of his, quote, reason, unquote, why he must remain inside, hidden, occluded, and really out of contact with other thetans. This person possibly, this explanation might or might not be the explanation, but this person possibly is hiding from thetans rather from bodies. And maybe that is the category of five. On further examination, this would prove to be the case or not to be the case, but this has proven to be the case, that in category five, your individual begins to be processable only on the service facsimile chain, and you've got to get the service facsimile chain. Now, what is a service facsimile chain? The explanation of service facsimile contained in advanced procedures and axioms is more or less the same thing that we're calling a service facsimile now. Nomenclature hasn't changed, but when we're talking and we say Act 5E service facsimile, we mean the service facsimile chain of, one, this spiral, or two, the whole track. Now, to get the full service facsimile chain up and de-intensified and reduced, it really would be necessary, if you were going to do a thorough job of it, to do the service facsimile chain of the last 74 trillion years. This sounds perhaps like a very large and arduous assignment, but due to the anatomy, the discoveries of anatomy of the service facsimile, it really isn't a very large assignment. The number of incidents as themselves, which are on a 74 trillion year, and I'm sorry if this assaults your credulity, but I ask you to consult the E-meter, and we're only trying to make people well, not trying to make them incredulous. If you look over the track, you'll find out that there are a great many incidents are really just locks. What you would have considered in the past a severe incident on the discovery of electronic incidents became a very mild incident. Electronic incidents can be so violent that a mere matter of knocking somebody off or stealing something and hiding and all that sort of thing, that's very mild, very mild. To run the service facsimile chain, it is only necessary to run the incidents until they are no longer a tight bundle of maybe. The service facsimile chain is called a service facsimile chain because it is used by the pre-clear to explain to him why he feels that way, to elicit sympathy from others, and to act as a warning signal to him as to what to avoid in existence. You could say that a little minute, minor service facsimile chain would be burning one's finger on a hot stove. That, by the way, serves then as the service facsimile about hot stoves. When the body touches a hot stove, an abrasion results. Something corrosive happens to the tissue and cells of the digit, which is put into contact with the overheated iron. That's a service facsimile chain. He uses it in every way, shape, and form, just as the whole chain is used. The little boy, burning his finger on a hot stove, immediately tells himself, no hot stove, I mustn't touch hot stoves, and he'll keep the injury to remind himself that he mustn't touch hot stoves. Furthermore, he will make it a stimulus response mechanism. This injury is a facsimile. When he gets near heat of a certain degree of intensity, that engram of a burned finger goes into re-stimulation and causes a muscular reflex which causes the hand to jerk away from the stove. He will use that also to get sympathy from his seniors and juniors. He will go around, he will expect this finger to be kissed. He will expect this finger to be petted, and so forth. This is his method of defending himself. Elicitation of sympathy is a mechanism of defense. If one can say and manage to get people to admit, you are on our team, or I am on your team, you have then gained team protection. And merely because you are injured, you will not be killed or put out of the game. You'll be cared for until the injury is safe. A soldier, for instance, on a battlefield, finding himself in the hands of the enemy, goes through a number of very severe emotions because they're not his team. And any soldier who has been treated in an enemy hospital will always tell you with just wide-eyed amazement that they treated him. They took care of him. They gave him morphine. Of course, they treated him after they'd gotten their wounded out of the way, but they still treated him. And some of these pilots and so forth come back will have nothing but praise for German surgeons. And likewise, Germans who fell into Allied hands will give you this amazement at being treated at all, being kept, being fed, and so on. Well, that's only done, actually, between these two teams, the German team, let's say, and the Allied team, simply because they have a basic recognition of the fourth dynamic. They are men caring for men, and man is itself a team. So wars here on Earth are actually inter-team squabbles. And man is man. So that's why they get cared for, but they're still surprised because it's another team. So that's what sympathy is. Sympathy says, I'm on your team. I'm one of the people playing here. I'm at least one of the pieces in the game, and please recognize this fact. Show an affinity, and it's just as though a team member recognized another team member on the basis of we're all more or less of the same wavelength, which is the same thing. Show affinity. Show similarity and sameness and identity between you and me. Then I will be able to take my attention off the environment long enough to make myself well. See how this is? Or you help me pick up this injury. It's an old latent impulse in that direction. Now that's a little boy burning his finger, and he shows it for sympathy, and he warns himself with it to stay off of hot stoves. The whole service facsimile chain is similarly used. It says what hot stoves to stay off, and it adds up to usually a single computation for the last 74 trillion years. Man has lived in spirals. He starts out in the mess universe, or the being which has taken over man, starts out in the mess universe, and spiral one is perhaps 100 million years long. Spiral two is maybe 60 million years long. Spiral three will be about 20 million years long. And it finally, he just comes back and forth down the spirals, shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. By the way, those are not accurate figures for the duration of spiral. I was just trying to show you how the spiral dwindles. Until now, those beings which are in men start on this spiral, and the spiral is only, in some cases, 3,000 or 4,000 years long. The person is really getting down there to end the track. Now, if you want to have, what is the beginning of the spiral? The person has passed in his chips. He's given up. He's dead. But at first, his memory span went the whole length. Now his memory span is cut down to one body at a time. That's what he accepts as his memory span. Well, the same way with a spiral. A person has this long spiral, and he considers that he is an individual during the duration of this spiral, and then tricks himself at the end of the spiral, and is perfectly willing to be tricked into believing that he's now a new being, has changed his identity, that all the past is wiped out, which it is not. And he promptly wants to go into a new spiral. And if you want to ask people to get the beginning of the last spiral, the person ordinarily will feel a tremendous surge of enthusiasm and let's get on with it, let's get at it, and so on. Whereas a moment before, he might have been quite apathetic. Let's say he was down completely into apathy, and then he and somebody else got together, and they said, well, let's start a new spiral in this thing, and just chuck the whole works. Be a new being. But the trouble with spirals, they get shorter and shorter and shorter, and now memory span is down to one lifetime, and the length of the spiral is varies between 50,000 and 3,000 years per pre-clip. You can pick up the service facsimile chain for any spiral. You can pick it up for current lifetime, current body. You can pick it up for bodies, the last few thousand years. And then you can pick it up for a spiral, or you can pick it up for the whole track. What you're really interested in doing is picking it up for the whole track. And the odd part of it is, old Wilhelm von Loen used to say in books such as Tolerance and some of his other writings here, he used to talk about, no matter how much things seem to change, they always remain the same. So this is the spiral attitude category. And the person has put on this big show of changing. He said, I'm somebody else now. I'm different. I have no relationship to the old being. No relationship at all. And when you start to process facsimiles, what do you find him using in that new spiral? The first time he fails, in order to explain his failure, he reaches back and picks up the service facsimile chain. And it's the same darn old chain. And he just adds some new incidents on it. And the computation on it is quite general, as I have outlined it, but is minor also. Minor computation. The minor computation would be for the one spiral of the one lifetime. They say the military services don't like me and I'm against them. That would be about the size of it. He'd say that was it. Now you start going back on the track and you find military services branching out into all government services. And then you get it earlier, all government. And then you see your definitions become wider and wider on the level. And so, when you start to pick out a service facsimile chain on the case, you're very, very wise if your pre-clair does not make too much objection to the matter. You're very, very wise. Just simply hand it to him right now and say, we're going to pick up the service facsimile chain for your whole span of beingness. We're not interested in this life. And the fellow says, what? And you say, well, it happens that you probably lived before. And you just give it to him. Don't give it to any. And he says, why? It's nonsense. You see this instrument here? This instrument's a lie detector. Grab a hold of the electrodes. Have you ever lived before? Now, you can give him a test on the thing. And you can show him on this test. You say, do you like your father? And it does a big dive. And you say, you see this charge on that. Do you like women? It does a big dive. And see, there's charge on that. But do you like men? Big dive. See, there's charge on that. Were you a good boy in school and it quivers and something of this sort? And he says, no. You say, you see, when the machine agrees with truth, right, it's agreeing with truth. Now, did you ever live before and it does a big dive? Now, it actually would serve you to be quite militant on this. Just downright militant. The best way that you could possibly handle a case is just to jump them on it and then run something. You might not agree with this policy, and after all, this is just a policy. This isn't how to do it. You might run an incident on them, which throws them way back down the track, which shows them that incident's there. These incidents are very available. And do your conviction right there in the first section. First session. The first one. Now, the way and the reason to do this is quite simple. How to do it, it's not difficult to show somebody an e-meter or to show them an incident. You can show them that something is happening. You're right there in the first session because they're going to go home and they're going to tell somebody about you. Say, don't talk to anybody about this. They'll say, yap, 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 yap. I had a girl who was, there's nothing easier to invalidate than a past life. And I had a girl, she was running beautifully. Oh, she was in terrible condition. There was every reason in the world why this girl ought to get well. And she was all loused up a couple of lives ago, and so I was showing her the track. And I found Abraham Lincoln. She was standing, listening to Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. She was quite startled to find herself there with full sonic. And she had pantaloons on and a polka dot dress and crinoline, all that sort of thing. And she says, you know, she had a high nasal voice. Very faint voice and so forth. And she's quite interested in it. And I asked her, what is the realest thing in the past to you? Or is the realest incident we can find in the past? And she came right up with Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Bam. She was there. Probably the big point in her whole lifetime. She had been in the first rank to hear this speech. All right. What do you know? She goes home, and Mama says, only this. Well, we don't know about these things, do we? And she came the next day, and I processed her for about an hour, and I was getting nowhere. And I wondered, what on earth was wrong with this case suddenly? So I just reviewed the interview at home. And I spent the remaining hour of the session simply scanning out Mama. Now, why Mama wanted to waste my time and impede this kid from getting well, I don't know. But they always will pitch in with malice aforethought and say, here's a human being, let's mess him up. Yes, dear, I want you to get well. Let's mess her, really mess her up. And that's about the way it looks from an auditor standpoint. So you're going to go in the whole track with a pre-clear. Just dive in the whole track. All right, if you've got an Act 5 pre-clear, you understand I'm talking about an Act 5, right straight through. Yeah. They come in, you know that if you start to run whole track, that somebody's going to invalidate them between that time and the next time you see them, because you're not going to run a Class 5 out to clear, in most cases, in a two-hour session. So let's just lay it to them, good and fast, and find that service facsimile chain, and then, if possible, put them in agony. And they say, something is happening. What do you know? Then they go home and somebody says to them, well, you know, nobody ever lives before. And besides, the Baptist minister who lives down in the corner, he was asked out and people would be very upset about you. And they might think you're crazy if you're out. And this guy is still packing this somatic. That's reminding him every minute of the time. That's real. Now, here... That sounds like sadism and cruelty on the part of an auditor. It is. But it's also terrifically practical. So if you go into an Act 5 and you're going to run service facsimile chain, let me assure you out of my experience, for what my experience is worth to you, it only embraces some thousands of processing people. But you have experience too. So don't let my experience overbalance you on this, is that current lifetime, you want to make a Homo sapiens well, and you want to get the Thetan out and make the Homo sapiens more well. Anything you want to do on this case, you practice on current lifetime, you're doing him a bad disservice for the simple reason that if you're going to do it all on current lifetime, the service facsimile chain of the current lifetime is much, much harder and longer to process. And you're going to be processing him for 75, 80, 100 hours. If you're going to insist on getting this lifetime, let's cut it down and take one spiral work. One spiral, you're maybe going to process him an act five, maybe 50 hours. But if you will just dive, evidently, and this could be, of course, modified according to opinion, because this latter material I'm giving you is just opinion. Dive at the whole track, pick up the whole chain, that sort of thing, you might be able to jump a five in 15, 20 hours up to a point where he's a four. And so on out, rather very rapidly. So you see the difference of hours of work? Now, if you want to, any one of you can make this test. Just do it with malice aforethought on one pre-clear. Get some poor unsuspecting pre-clear and just sit down, and in the name of science, you see the name of science. That is an invention, that phrase, to permit anything. We are being scientific about it all, he says, as he pulls the legs off a frog or the thyroid out of a hitherto live and well girl. It's in the name of science, says the psychiatrist. Pardon me, I wasn't going to talk about that. I shouldn't talk about the prefrontal lobotomy, because after all, it really isn't important. After all, they're just human beings. And so on, and science must go on, and science demands that after you've made 1,000 tests and found out that nobody got well in the whole 1,000, that you keep on issuing publicity saying it keeps people from worrying. I can keep anybody on the street down there, I can fix him up so he won't worry anymore. All you do is stand up on the balcony and shoot him through the head with a Holland Express 50 caliber rifle. And I guarantee you he won't worry. All right, so your service facsimile chain optimum is the whole track. Now, more sensibly and a little less rambling, what is the anatomy of a service facsimile chain? Why is it in present time? It is in present time because it consists of flows and counterflows which will not cancel each other. You have incoming incidents and outgoing incidents and incoming flows and outgoing flows which are so uncancelable that the whole bundle insists on remaining in an unchanged condition in present time. No matter how poorly observed, the service facsimile is all in present time. Now, optimum, according to the axioms, is when you receive a motion, you should be able to use the motion. That is effort, counter-effort aspect of motion. The motion comes in, you should be able to turn around and let the motion go out. Simple? And life becomes very simple if the code of Hammurabi is an example of this. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Somebody comes in, knocks your front teeth out, you simply get the opportunity, not the court or anybody, but you have the right at that moment to stand him up and even have people hold him and knock his front teeth out. That is eye for an eye as a code. It's very workable justice. It works some hardship, and of course doesn't work out in the end any more than anything else works out in the end in the messed universe. But what is done to the individual, he should be able to do. So he has had many things done to him, and he has done many things, and all of these things are quite smooth. Something happened to him, somebody cut his head off, somebody shot him in half with some kind of a weapon, something of the sort. A few lives later, you find him shooting somebody in half or cutting their head off, and you'd wonder, why isn't this terribly aberrative? I mean, good heavens, this being has cut somebody's head off. He's got a perfect... It's justice. He has perfect justice on the man. His head was cut off sometime or other, wasn't it? Well, there's justice to the degree that the outgoing motion is able to parallel the earlier received motion. If you want a definition of justice, it lies in the closest possible approximation of the incoming motion by the outgoing motion. Therefore, an outgoing motion which closely parallels an earlier incoming motion is defined as, for our purposes, justice. That's justice. Now, nobody ever really suffers from justice. If you stop and think for a moment, all these things go a little bit off. So the justice becomes a very upsetting thing. One's head is cut off by a fellow by the name of B in the year something or other, of the age something or other, of the planetary system something or other. And then he cuts off somebody's head, and that person is C. It's a different person. It's a different time. It's a different place, and it's a different head. So the flows don't completely match. But to all intents and purposes, they'll match close enough. Now, if one's head was cut off by B, who is one sex or classification of being, and he cuts the head off of C, who is another sex or classification of being, we get a wider difference. And this wider difference makes it less possible to call this act of cutting somebody's head off just. Until finally, one has merely had his shoulder squeezed. He's had his shoulder squeezed. And a few centuries later, he hacks somebody's shoulder off. Well, now that's getting pretty wide. And then somewhere up the track somewhere, he gets himself shot, let us say, with a BB gun, some velocity such as a BB gun, and the penetration is an eighth of an inch into the flesh. And somewhere up the track, he shoots somebody with a Browning 50 caliber machine gun. It's getting wider and wider and wider apart. You see, the differences are getting too great. Now, when those differences are really great, you get no excuse for having done the act. A little boy shoots him with a BB gun, and later on, he shoots a girl with a double-barreled shotgun. The difference between boy and girl, and the difference of weapons, and the amount of injury, and so forth, will make the double-barreled shotgun, without provocation, and in itself, to his classification, an act without provocation. And so he regrets it. He wants to turn time back. He says, and then he tries to match it up and say, she really deserved it. The reason I shot this girl with a double-barreled shotgun and blew her completely in half was because she deserved it, and she really did deserve it, and that is the reason why. Well, after he's done such things for a few times, he has a collection of what we call dead, deserved it actions. The only provocation, really, is no earlier incident. The only provocation is just this one act, and just this one reason, deserved it. As soon as one does this, one appoints oneself to be Lord God Almighty, and one isn't supposed to be the Eighth Dynamic. You're not supposed to do cause without former cause. So here's the problem, and you get this situation known as a dead. A dead, then, is an action which does not approximate an earlier action which happened to the individual. He does something which never happened to him. Or, if it happened to him, it was such a shadow of what he did later, or was so different than what he did later, that it doesn't cancel out. Now, as soon as he gets one of these, as soon as he does such an act, he then has an incident an overt act without provocation, and that'll just sit there. He's trying to hold it back. He's trying to suppress it. He's trying to hide it. He can't ask for sympathy on this. No chance that he's doing so. So on. And so, he accumulates with such acts terrific charged potential. And sooner or later, the act is going to happen to him. He'll actually invite it. By the way, just by the law of flows, he keeps on shooting women in half with double-barrel shotguns just to convince people that he has the right to shoot people in half with double-barrel shotguns and convince people that they deserved it. And he goes into all sorts of things. He starts an outgoing motion. Now he's had it justified. He can't stop it. And he doesn't have any earlier motion. He's in wonderful condition about this time. Then one day, little Rollo walks up and shoots him in the chest with a BB gun. And this is a pellet, and it has some vague approximation of his dead chain. And what do we get? We get an effort on the part of our antagonist to be the victim. Of course, it won't match. It's no excuse. He's saying, see, it happened to me, it happened to me. Therefore, it happens all the time, and therefore, I'm not off all the teams, and therefore, I'm not divorced forever from the race and the game and all that sort of thing. And the time ball-up comes, possibly, from an actual effort to arrange these two incidents in time. He tries to get the dead ex earlier than the dead and winds the whole track up in a beautiful snarl. You process these people, one could forecast that they would tell you that these things which happened to them happened earlier than they really happened. Very theoretically, this might be borne out. I've never observed it, and I've never looked. But you could get, perhaps, somebody in a sanitarium who falls over a chair and will then try to convince you that the fall over the chair occurred some years before. The reason why is this person would have a series of dids about putting chairs, let us say, where people could fall over them. Something nonsensical. But there's your effort. The effort is to reverse time and turn time upside down. And that, again, is something which is forbidden in the messed universe. We must go on the agreed time track. Time is, again, the aberrating factor here. The dead X, then, is what the person demonstrates. And they're saying, look, see this hole? I was shot with a BB gun. I was shot with a BB gun, and it was just terrible, and it was just agonizing, and I had an awful time about this whole thing. And it got infected, and I had to go to the doctor, and they operated finally, and were able to extract the pellet, but it had lodged very near the matricular valve on the left-hand side of the trapezoidal rhomboses. And this occasioned a great deal of trouble, and that is why today I'm a ruined man. You say, oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the whole incident, he may believe all this happened. But the actuality is he dug it out with his thumbnail, and then he just got to worrying about it. Now he has a reason, but it's not a good reason. What humanity and what he himself is objecting to is a false reason. They won't stand for one of these false reasons. Justice, again, everybody with this big thirst for justice. So, a motivator over that chain would be where you got a much closer approximation. The person is socked over the head with a baseball bat, and 20 years afterwards, somebody socks him over the head, or he socks somebody else over the head with a baseball bat. And you still can't get him to feel very bad about it. He hasn't any reason for this particularly, but somebody hit him with a baseball bat, he hit somebody else with a baseball bat. That's the way you live, you see? That's the climate in which we live, is hitting people over the head with baseball bats. So that's the environment. And you actually do have an environmental tolerance. That's why people, when they change environments, get well or get worse. You're adjusted to so much noise, to so much upset, to so much mistiming, to so much this, and you consider that routine. That's just routine. That's nothing to worry about. Whereas actually a person, well, let's say London, the climate of London, the turbulence climate of London, you might say, the amount of turbulence, level of turbulence of London, is omnibuses going in all directions, and Americans driving on the right-hand side of the road, houses being entered, people being robbed every once in a while in their homes, the houses all closed together and no fields to walk in, actually, that's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. You get down and think it over. I mean, it's all of these people and you're bumping into people, walk down the street, crowds and so on. Well, it's an inturbulence. Cross inturbulence is this way and that. Business, for instance, here, whereas an American might not suspect this, runs at a much headier pitch and speed. And transactions run at a much higher speed than they would in one of the upper counties. Now, up there we get a young man and he's idea of terrific turbulence is having to move his body down to the local store and have a large conversation and finally buy a pound of sugar and then remove his body homeward again. His level of turbulence is large, quiet, empty fields and a few sheep. Occasionally you meet somebody, and when you meet somebody, why, you talk to them, and they talk rather slowly, and they talk a little bit aimlessly. And when you do a business deal, well, you sort of mention it to somebody, and then you kind of haggle about it a little bit next week. And then you think about it some more, and the cows which you're going to buy in December finally get bought about June. There was lots of time, lots of space, and so on. Well, that's his turbulent climate. Now we move this boy to London. And he gets in terrible condition. I mean, but you take somebody here, and you send them up there, how restful and how quiet for the first couple of days, then they start to get shaky on their pins. At night, they lie there and listen to all that silence. And that silence goes out such unimaginable distances. They finally hardly take it at all, or they make it well in the circumstances. On the other hand, the boy on the farm, gets set down on an isolated desert island where there is exactly no randomity of any kind, and he sits there and eats coconuts, and he practically blows his brains out after a while. He hasn't got that wild turbulence of the upper county. The wild turbulence of going to the store. You get this gradient scale, then, of the climate of turbulence. What is ordinary to a being? And you'll find on the whole track that every human being here, for the whole track, has some idea of what his pace ought to be. How much turbulence there is. Now, you take somebody that's lived a pretty wild, wild life. He's been shot up, and he's shooting up people, and he's been part of this organization and part of that organization. He's been shooting off in all directions and going here and going there and getting that done and getting this done and so on. A pace which, to another person, would be considered wildly hectic. Well, the odd part of it is that this pace itself might not be interbulative. Your preclear. When you think, well, he got shot and he shot somebody and he did this and he did that and he did something else and he went here and he went there and you think, my golly, how many incidents have we got to process on this service facsimile chain? Well, the incidents you've got to process are the out-of-pace incidents. That's really all. You'll find those out-of-pace incidents. At first, he's rather prone to brag about the incidents which don't matter. He brags about his climate of turbulence. He says, well, it's so and 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 oh, I'm a bad boy. I'm so and so. I did this and did that. And he's just talking about overt acts and motives. What you want to find out is what did he do that was out of climate, out of pace, and, of course, had no provocation or justification anywhere on the track. That's the incident you want. And that incident is sitting right in present time. And you can take a look at the preclear. If you're really good, you can just take a look at the preclear and you can tell what incident that is. You know. And, just by the general complexion and attitude of the person, you've got a pretty good idea what this person's been up to. But I won't ask you to do that. That's on an artistic side. You'll develop the facility and check yourself on an E-meter every time. This person has showing a somatic or a manifestation or a perception shutdown. And that thing is the little tab hanging out on the dead that you're looking for. This person, without provocation of any kind, has administered a punishment, an overt act, which of course is a dead eggs, has administered a dead to somebody on the track, which exactly matches his facsimile, his manifestation, his nervousness, or his perceptive shutdown. Fortunately for processing, every pre-clear is wearing a full signed seal confession. Right out loud, he is. The way you do this sort of thing is you just look at the fellow and you say, aha, aha, this fellow has a withered hand, okay? If you really want to get right down to the service facsimile chain, right down to business right now, you just ask him bluntly, was it a man or a woman's hand you cut off? You don't have to worry about asking if you cut off somebody's hand, or it'll be cut off, crushed, destroyed, or did something to a hand someplace on the track. And it'll be that hand, mirror image. In other words, if it's his right hand that is withered, the mirror image that you process will be found in the victim to be the left hand. This mirror image. And if he comes up with people who aren't a mirror image, he is wearing a withered right hand, and yet he keeps telling you about injuries to people's right hands. No, it's mirror image. Now, it could be in some people the phaeton is turned around. It's very embarrassing to them. They all of a sudden conceive themselves to be in their heads backwards. So that law has that exception. But you can count on it pretty well as a law. It's going to be a mirror image. It's going to be a body if he's wearing the somatic on a body. Now, there's a whole range of phaeton deads. You're used to looking at bodies that you consider that what the body is wearing is what's aberrated. It's what can't the phaeton do? What can't the phaeton do? If he's in class 5, it tells you immediately, and for anybody, the phaeton can't see. Just that. For most people, the phaeton can't feel or hear, except as terribly assisted, sort of on a nursemaid-made variety, through the mess body. The mess body's sort of a nursemaid. It does the seeing, hearing, feeling, and all that sort of thing. He's perfectly confident that this is happening, so he can excuse himself for doing this. A phaeton has, if we really want to get down to cases, a phaeton is doing what he has done as a dead. He is behaving as he has caused, without provocation, other phaetons to behave. If he's in a body, it tells you immediately he has put people in a body. That's number one. That's why I say he's got a signed, sealed confession written all over him. He's put somebody in a body with malice aforethought. He's reduced somebody down from the status of phaeton to the status of manipulator of a body. If he can't see theta-wise, you know that he's blinded a phaeton. If he can't feel theta-wise, he has taken all sense of touch away from a phaeton. So this might surprise you a little bit on this range as to really what the service facsimile chain is. So there's going to be two classes that you will discover then. One, injuries rendered, three classes. In modern times and in earlier periods when he's been in bodies before, it will be injuries or punishments to the perception, to reduce the perception and action of other bodies. He has, by deads, reduced the perception or action of other physical bodies. You know that. That's late on the track. That's fairly recent. Now, just let's go back down that just a little earlier. And we find out that he has, that is, as a body, as Homo sapiens, he has heard other bodies, that first classifications. As a man, a Thetan plus body plus GE, he has heard other Thetan plus bodies plus GEs. He has injured them perceptically or by action. Now, he's wearing that somatic prominently, very prominently. And you'll find a whole service facsimile chain, which is actually a section of a whole chain, having to do with man doing things to man, or a being such as man doing things to a beings like himself. Now, that'd be your first classification, and that's your latest portion of the track, I mean, the portion that's closest to us. As a soldier, he has shot somebody, and he's now wearing the somatic. And so on and so on. All right. Now, let's take a look at the classification two. And that classification would be as a Thetan doing something to bodies. That'd be classification two. As a Thetan, not in a body, he has done things to bodies. And he has reduced the perception and action of bodies as a Thetan and as a dead. He's reduced it without provocation. So now you've got your middle ground of the service facsimile chain, and now let's find the earliest portion of the facsimile chain, which would be as a Thetan, he has reduced the perception or energy production of other Thetans. Such incidents, again, being a dead. What then does the service facsimile chain really consist of? The one that's really going to show up. As a Thetan, he has reduced the perception or energy production, which is to say the action of a Thetan is energy production, you see. It's dependent on his ability to produce energy. He has reduced the action or energy production of a Thetan, again, without provocation, no motivator. And on the whole chain, he has cut out, as a dead, quite early, the ability to remember out of a Thetan. As a Thetan, and without provocation, he shut out another Thetan's ability to remember anything. What are you looking for then in your service facsimile chain? You're looking for just that list of things. Now you can take them one, two, three. You can get that whole track chain, and if you're getting the whole track chain, you'll find yourself nibbling back through this first class and then getting into the middle ground and fooling around with that for a short time, and you know darn well that the early ground is very much there and it is basic on all of this. So you just fool with more or less modern times, the last few billion years. You just fool with these just long enough to get a clue. Because one, two, and three, in this case, are in agreement. It's the same thing each time. Now, I want you to recognize this for a mechanical process. Most gruesomely mechanistic. You look at your preclear and what is the most wrong with him? What is the thing he does the worstest? Perception or action? Just classify it this way. And there's a standard method of classification on this. And you can write this all down, and you could actually have a mimeograph pad made up so that every time you got a class five, you just reach for this pad and you do an assessment right on this line. And this assessment could simply be on this basis. Is his main observable difficulty, now you understand already on this pad, you've tested him for one, you've tested him for two, You've tested him for three. You've tested him for four. And by God, he falls into five. All right, five. Now you start to write. What's his main difficulty? Now, you could say that in its highest generality, he is lost in time and space, but that wouldn't be true of any preclear you had. So, you could say he's having difficulty with survival. Same thing. You could get too general on this, so you want to get fairly specific. And you want to decide for yourself what's worst. Because this worstness will bring down all other capabilities. It's something like you have a line of clothespins, and they're all hanging up on a line, and they're all equally good or equally bad. And when you take one of those pins and throw it down on the ground, the others will all fall down on the ground too, but they won't fall as hard. There's an invisible thread, you might say, that connects all of these clothespins. And you take one and you throw it down and it goes crunch. All the rest of them are going to fall to a little less degree. So this person can't do something real bad. And it'll be in one of two categories, or you may be unable to choose, and so you get action and perception categories. He can't do something in action, he can't do something in perception. Real bad. There's going to be one, and try to find it. One that he can't do real, real bad. It's probably some manifestation of one sort or another. You don't have to worry. It's just a matter of time whether you're right. You could be wrong on this thing for 5-6 times. Just taking one category after another category. And you'd finally hit the right one. But let's take a look at him, and we find out that this person is having one hell of a time moving. Everything else is down, too, but just having an awful time moving. That's the complaint. Well, what are they having a bad time moving? A body. Satan may be having a bad time moving the body. They can't move themselves around very much. You're going to pick up your strongest lead in the intermediary section, the middle, number two classification. It'll all fly back to number one, that's true, eventually, but you're going to pick up the biggest dead that you can find in the second classification, that is Thetan, reducing perception or action, that's number two. And in this case, it's action. So it's a Thetan reducing the action of a body. Person having a hard time moving around. So you say immediately, Thetan producing an action of the body. Now you'll find that in the first classification, bodies doing things to bodies, you'll find that you can get an enormous number of incidents. You can just get incidents and incidents and incidents of them standing still, of them making other people stand still, other people making them stand still, and back and forth, yep, 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 and you can get lots of that. So we won't worry about that. We'll go into the intermediate classification as soon as we can. We'll just ask them questions, and we know exactly where we're going. We want to know on this pad of paper we put down, having a difficult time moving the body around. There it has to do with positioning bodies. Therefore, if it has to do with positioning bodies, it must be the Thetan that's having trouble positioning bodies. And so we are going to dive in at this level of the case. We're going to say the Thetan is working, trying, is guilty as a dead of having fixed the body in one place. Now, it could be fixed the body in one place by killing it slightly, but that isn't good enough. Because this body, your preclear, has got still alive. Because that dead is going to approximate it very closely. So it's merely making it very hard for this body to get around. And you'll find this Thetan has done something to impede the motion around of a body. And it's in the intermediary period. Way back, middle track. Middle track. Now, by the way, you will find lots of that in body to body, and you will find lots of it following the original act. You see how this is? You will find lots. And lots of them. So keep tracking back, and practically anything you find, if you're really going out for Theta Clear, fact, anything you find, suspect it as being later than the dead you want. You follow this? This is diagnosis by identification with the victim. What's wrong with your... Whatever your pre-clear has wrong with him, he has done. And he's done it as a dead, and you pick up the earliest period of the track you could pick up. There being three general periods of track. Thetans, just having to do with thetans, then a thetan having to do with the body, and then thetan plus body plus GE having to do with thetan plus body plus GE. The three general periods, and so you've got your question there is simply when. This tells you right away what the score is on it. Now, the body will occasionally echo a thetan's perceptive shuttle. A body will occasionally just echo it. The thetan, let us say, cannot feel, therefore he's got the body, so it can't feel anyway. This means a heavy chain, service facsimile chain, on the subject of can't feel, anesthesia. You've got an anesthesia. Well, he's probably, you'll go all the way back and you'll find an anesthesia thetan versus thetan. Will be the real basic on the chain. As a dead. He knew this thetan. He one day came up and maybe the thetan was the teammate. And one day he happily moves in on this thetan and simply fixes him up so he can't feel for some reason. Reasons best known to himself. And reasons best known to somebody else. Only, of course, that thetan he fixed up really deserved it. The next step on the line, you'll find the thetan fixing up bodies so they can't feel. And then you'll find bodies. The thetan in the body at this time has the body fixed up so it can't feel. Because works on a perception level. It works also on an action level. If a thetan can't move around, there'll be an echo in the body. So this whole thing becomes a very easy thing to detect. Nearly all of them go back to thetan plus thetan. Thetan versus thetan. Nearly all of them you will find go back to that. And the quicker you can get back there and relieve that track, how do you do it now? You do it by running Overdack's motivators on the subject. Closely related subjects, apparently. You'll find they won't lift, not worth a nickel. Until you get a dead. And if you get a dead that is independent and the first dead on the spiral, you'll find the thing will lift. Don't expect it to stay gone. It might lift enough for your pre-clear to then start practicing on an earlier act and so get out of his body and so have everything patched up easily. But don't expect that whole service facsimile chain to be gone just because you've picked it up as having happened 500 or 600 years ago. Or 5 or 6 million years ago. Or 5 or 6 billion years ago. The chances are your service facsimile chain has its inception between 3 and 74 trillion years ago. I'm giving you our E-meter readings. You really upset people by asking when you say 74 trillion years, ask them on the E-meter. Earth years? Get quite upset. Because they have no constant measure. All right, then what is the service facsimile chain? Service facsimile chain is the performance of an action, unprovoked, unmotivated, against another being. And this act and action is afterwards used as a means of gaining sympathy, as a means of excusing conduct, and a means of telling oneself what one must not do. And that's your service facsimile chain. It is worked out by working dead exes, deads. First you work motivators and overts back and forth and around and around. This and that, because you find they're pretty easy to get, and they owe it all salted in with the deads and dead exes. But every time you get an overt motivator, and you find them complete in a pattern, after you work them for a short time, go back and find the dead. Because there's a dead earlier than that. The person did it. He's merely given you the time when it was obviously fully provoked. He did it to somebody else, and somebody did it to him, and we're all rosy. You watch this. Happening the other day with a pickaxe, by the way. We were going round and round. Everybody was sinking pickaxes and everybody else's skull. We were having a good time about the whole thing. And then we go back and we find a girl. The girl was the dead And evidently, we picked up the Thetan plus GE plus body versus Thetan plus GE plus body basic. It'd be three basics. There's body versus body basic, Thetan versus body basic, and Thetan versus Thetan basic, the last being the earliest. You pick this up by working these incidents one against the other because they're all wound up in maybe. You find, for instance, this fellow, all of a sudden you discover he can't get out of his body. You suspect immediately he's probably in hide. You can actually read the meter on the sub-zero scale and say, are you hiding? Are you trying to own? Are you trying to control? And so forth. And where you get the biggest drop is where he is on the tone scale, theta-wise. So it says hiding. All right, where are you hiding? What are you hiding from? Well, there's various things you can hide from. You can hide from bodies, you can hide from thetans, or you can hide from organizations. And if you find out he's hiding from the police. What police? Maybe 10,000 years ago, maybe 100,000 years ago, maybe 2 billion years ago, he's hiding from some set of police somewhere on the track. What police? Oh boy, he's having a good time hiding from the police. Great. You say, poor fellow. Now we'll process out all the things he should be hiding from the police for. Nuts. Why is he hiding from the police? Well, he thinks he's hiding from the police because it's necessary to hide from the police. And there's a dead on it. He got a hold of somebody one time that was innocent as the flowers of spring. And he filled him full of, as a police officer, probably himself, in some system police somewhere, he got a hold of some fellow who was no more criminal than Adam and did something to him and made him hide. And he had this fellow probably running the whole length and breadth of the universe to get away from him. All for some personal advantage without any real provocation. And that'll be way back and it'll be a dead. And you can process for a long, long, long time the dead exes. And that's the peculiarity of the dead ex. Boy, you can beat those things to pieces. You can just process them and process them and process them, and nothing happens. The preclear keeps getting recurrent symptoms. This is not true of a dead. If you find a dead, you just take enough dead ex off of it to flip him into the dead, and you make him work that dead for all of its worth. And then you ask if there's an earlier dead. All right. Did he do something like this before? And you just start peeling it back. Bang, bang, bang. You'll get back to Thetan versus bodies and then Thetans versus Thetans. It'll be the same category in every case. If he is unable to move the body around here, it goes back to as a Thetan in the intermediary period, fixing up some body which he considered aesthetic or attractive or a good joke or something of the sort, just fixing this body up so it couldn't move. The body never did anything to him. He probably ruined it eventually, just on the simple basis of making it so it can't escape. He made it stay in a certain area, in other words. He probably hobbled it or he did something to it. Treated it like cattle or something. And the body that he considered was quite valuable and was high aesthetic value for him and all that sort of thing. One day he found out that this was harmful. It was painful to the body and the body's in horrible condition as a result of it. The second he found this out, why... he felt very bad and he tried to undo it, but it was too late because the body was probably dead by this time. Some such an incident. That's just on having difficulty moving the body around. Now, you'd think that thing would solve at that point. Well, it'll solve an awful lot. It'll alleviate at that point. But you go back on the track to Thetan versus Thetan. You look there. And you'll find out that one Thetan, as a Thetan, this person has limited the area of locomotion of another Thetan. And that undoubtedly is there. Somewhere. What is the incident? Now, you sometimes have to process deads and dead exes later on the track and unburden the earlier incident, but just keep socking it home, getting it earlier, finally picking it up where it belongs. What is your diagnosis? Look at the preclear and find out what he can do the worst. What does he do worst? Is it in the category of perception or action? All right, we'll say it's in the category of perception. Okay, category of perception. What perception is it? Is it hearing? Okay, as a body,
this being as a Homo sapiens, he has injured the hearing without provocation of another Homo sapiens. Somewhere, since he's been a man in a body. That's one, that's the first dead. Now we go back and find where, as a Thetan, he made it impossible for a body to hear, for some reason or other, again, as a dead. And now we go back to Thetan versus Thetan and find out how he shut the sonic off of some other Thetan. And all the time you're processing the service facsimile chain, your pre-clear is going to hand out large cardboard boxes, valises, trunks, crates, ice boxes full of red herrings. He is going to glut your market with red herrings. Because all the way along the thing, you're processing and assessing the thing which he uses to get sympathy. So what's he going to do when you re-stimulate it? He's going to say, sympathize with me, sympathize with me. Isn't this terrible? Here I am, all shot to pieces and no provocation. They didn't have any provocation for shooting me to pieces at all. And here I am, all shot up. Please give me sympathy. Now, this is your pre-clear that comes around and really wants nothing but sympathy. He actually wants to have his facsimile chain run. There's actually, with some auditors, now you can worry about your own motives in auditing. This is why some auditors audit. They audit with a terrible anxiety. And they are trying to audit a dead they have done out of the pre-clear. Volney Matheson, in testing a lot of pre-clears, found that the auditors, in cases where the auditor was poor and processing had never advanced and the pre-clear had eventually stopped processing, that this particular auditor had this as a phobia. This is not, as one would have been led to believe in psychoanalysis, the entire motive for auditing. Psychoanalysis always had something insane as the basis of the reason for the thing. And that made it all very happy. The reason the fellow wrote, you see, is because he had an insane obsession. In other words, all action was based on aberration. Well, fortunately, that isn't true. You'll find the original set of axioms is led just a little bit afield by this, because it says that every thought is preceded by an effort. It's true of every aberrated thought, but there are two axioms above that level. The Thetan, quite independently, and quite independent of motion, can get a thought, can get an impulse, a desire, and so forth. And his desire is action. And his desire in this universe, in this particular game, is action. And he's got good, solid reasons